What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
You're not interested in art?
No.
Well, look, we're going to do this thing. We're going to have a conversation.
Hey, Film Spotters, Adam here. You know, over the last 10 plus years of doing this show, the single word that has probably been said the most by Josh and me is letterboxed. It's just the perfect one-stop movie site. You can keep a log of what you watched, when you watched it, how you felt about it, movies you want to watch. You can follow really smart people and see what movies they're watching and how they feel about them. You can also make lists like the rankings Josh and I referenced when we did our A24 and Steven Spielberg drafts. The point is, we genuinely love the site and app, which is why we're really excited to be working with Letterboxd to help grow each other's audiences. What you're about to hear is the teaser episode for Letterboxd's new limited run award season podcast, Best in Show. Gemma Gracewood appears, who does a great job hosting the Letterboxd Show podcast, which I've been fortunate enough to appear on before, talking about Miyazaki. Brian Formo, Letterboxd editorial producer, who I enjoyed meeting just a few weeks ago for the first time via Zoom, and Mia Vicino, their West Coast editor, who is a fantastic Letterboxd follow herself, at Brat Pitt. She's also a fantastic trivia spotting captain. We were privileged to have her join our virtual trivia a few times this past year. They're going to break it all down for you, including insights from some of the contenders and past winners, including a pretty talented cinematographer you may have heard of, Roger Deakins. If you're not already doing it, follow Film Spotting on Letterboxd. I'm at Film Spotting. Josh is at Larson on Film. Sam is at Sam Van Halgren. And give Best in Show a listen.
Hi, and welcome to our teaser episode introducing Best in Show, a limited podcast series all about awards season, brought to you by The Letterboxd Show. Throughout this series, we'll be discussing the noms and gongs, the snubs and surprises from throughout cinema history, and we'll be letting the Letterboxd data tell us why the voters were right or somewhat misguided. We'll meet contenders from this year's movies and interrogate insiders about the role of award season in the film ecosystem, but mostly we'll do what we always do, celebrate cinema. I'm Mia Vicino, the West Coast editor here at Letterboxd, and joining me each week during award season will be our editorial producer and Hollywood veteran, Brian Formo.
Hello, hello, hello.
And our editor-in-chief, Gemma Gracewood.
Hi there.
We'll also be having some very special guests on the show throughout the season, from big-time Academy Award winners to Hollywood insiders, all helping us to demystify this whole award season business. But for this teaser episode, we will answer just one question. Why are we doing this, Gemma? Why are you letting Brian and me loose on Hollywood's red carpets?
Excellent question. And I've been thinking a lot about it since you warned me you were going to ask. And the best answer I can give is that, as Rolf and Kermit once sang, you can't live with him, you can't live without him. There's something irresistible-ish about him. And okay, they were singing about Lady Muppets, but I guess that's how I feel about awards for movies. Giving out trophies for art is crazy. It's really, really stupid to pit one movie against another. But don't we also love it when art wins? We love it. We love it, right?
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah, we love when art wins. And I know I'm not the only one who thinks calling one thing the best is dumb. But it's also really great when we get to celebrate a movie for being excellent. The whole thing is gloriously confusing, and that's what I'm hoping to uncover during Best in Show. Let's hear from Tars writer and director Todd Field, who had something to say about this at the Gotham Awards recently, where he won Best Script.
We must celebrate and support each other's work and forever eliminate this ridiculous word best from the conversation. That word should be left to the titles of wonderful films involving dogs directed by Christopher Guest. This is fragile. We have this moment together. It's fleeting and fantastic. Thank you very much.
Gemma and Brian, I do believe we just got the stamp of approval from Todd Field himself for our show's name, a certain Christopher Guest and Parker Posey movie.
And Mia, I don't know if you've recovered yet, but we also have Brad Pitt telling us on the Babylon red carpet about his love for a certain Best in Show actress.
I mean, what's on my mind right now is White Lotus, because I just saw the finale last night. Jennifer Coolidge, please. She's just, it's the greatest thing I've seen all year. So please, don't miss it.
Thank you so much.
I go back, I rewind, I watch again, and just laugh my ass off.
What? Oh my gosh. That's amazing.
This is the first thing we did when you let us loose on Hollywood's red carpets. We talked to my ex-husband, Brad Pitt.
How did you cope? And was he suitably respectful towards you?
Well, Gemma, it was my 27th birthday. And what's funny is that my 21st birthday was spent seeing La La Land with my friends in a theater. And now my 27th birthday is spent talking to Damien Chazelle himself on the red carpet. So it's come full circle.
You're moving up in the world. And you know what? Brad Pitt is right. Jennifer Coolidge for all of the awards ever. Speaking of red carpets, though, Mia, you've been chosen to lead us down that path because you, it's reported, are an awards fanatic. Let's check our bona fides. Have you ever won an award?
Well, Gemma, I am trying to stay humble, but I did win a trophy for most accurate Oscar ballot predictions at Demi Adejuyibe's Oscar party earlier this year. I did get 16 out of 22 correct.
Well, okay. And basically you put that on your resume and you got the job.
That's how it works.
That's how it works around here at Letterboxd. It's all good.
It's all good. Yeah. So these Oscar parties and celebrations are kind of the only times I ever truly understand why sports fans are rooting so hard for their teams. Like how LA feels about the Dodgers is how I feel about Kate Blanchett as Lydia Tarr. Like, go Tarr. Yes, girl, delete those emails, you know?
Actually, that is a great analogy because Dodgers fans hate the Astros more than anything else. And that is also one way that we approach awards, who we're rooting against, not just who we're rooting for.
Ooh.
Brian, with the sports analogies that go over my head.
I'm so glad we have you here, Brian, because sports and movies. Has a sports film ever won Best Picture?
Rocky and Million Dollar Baby.
I was right. I second-guessed myself.
Oh, don't do that, Mia.
No, I'm going to build more confidence to host this show.
16 out of 22. Can't be wrong.
16 out of 22. You're right. Gemma, have you ever won an award?
Apart from a couple of swimming medals and ribbons, no trophy. The only trophy I've ever won was from Women in Film and Television New Zealand, who named me their woman to watch in around about the year, I don't know, 1962. And I feel like they're still kind of watching me. Like it's wonderful to be a woman to watch, but it applies a lot of pressure on one. And I think about that a lot when I think about award season and about what we're doing here at Best in Show, because there's a lot of conjecture in award season. There's a lot of, ooh, up and coming, ooh, here they go. And this is not that. We're here to talk about what is rather than what might be, if that makes sense. And like what is, if I can get cheesy for a minute, an incredible year of films from massive blockbusters in the air and in the Pandora Ocean, teaching us the way of the water, all the way through to tender, low-budget debuts from Charlotte Wells, all filled with craftspeople who worked through an entire pandemic, no less, ratting and PCRing every 3 hours to get these movies made for us. And that is why we need our own insider on the job. Brian Formo, you've been on this racket for a while. It's time to list your bona fides.
Well, I won, not to brag. It is Little Small Potatoes because it is Idaho and potatoes is a pun. I'm already giving dropping puns. But I won the review writing awards from the Idaho State Journalism Coalition three years in a row.
I'm retiring.
Well, it made me feel like I should move to LA where it's a lot harder to carve your way than in Idaho. But actually, I think what is most applicable, I'm going to go back to sports and Gemma dropped in swimming, so it's fine. When I was struggling at, well, I had a good jump shot, but I was struggling at basketball. Basically, I was short. That's what I'm saying. I was very short. And I won the Hustle Award, which means basically you have a lot of heart, but not the most talent.
Oh,
but
I love that award. I want that award.
Because hustle actually applies more than journalism to this racket, especially if you followed something like the Golden Globes controversies. It's no surprise that journalism isn't at really like the forefront of everything. But hustle is because in LA this for like 5 months. It's nothing but event after event. It's everything everywhere all at once, from the craft guilds to the American Association of Retired Persons to our very own Letterboxd Year in Review. There are so many freaking awards. And that will be reflected here, because to be clear, this is not an exclusive Academy Awards joint. We are covering a season of awards that starts in earnest in November and runs through March. The Oscars are the finish line. That's another sports thing. Man. But we did say this is movie sports, so buckle up. I can say this as the resident insider, and I'm so glad to have Mia on this with me. It's fun. The award season is fun. There's a lot to talk about, and awards are markers of life for those who win it or are nominated. And as much as any other big events, for those on stage getting their trophies and for us at homes in the suburbs or in on the farm, as far from Hollywood as you can get.
So yeah, Best in Show is also about demystifying the whole awards season shebang. You know, as a little old New Zealander living as far from Hollywood as you can get and growing up watching that particular ceremony, the Oscars, on TV, it's like, well, how did those people get there? And in a way, Best in Show, even though we've named this show not after sports, we've named it after the Christopher Guest movie, which is all about dogs and how they dress themselves up and do their little jumps. So it's not just about the movie itself. It's about how you play the season, right? It's about how you walk onto that carpet. It's who you choose to be interviewed by during the whole shebang. There are certain ceremonies that matter more than others that the general public would have no idea about. Why does the whole thing last months and months and months? Why do the films we love the most sometimes miss out? And what do they need to do to get noticed? And we're also going to talk about, like, we've got the data, right? So how the Letterboxd community notices these films, sometimes years later, but certainly during the season, the films that are at the top of our charts compared to at the top of the award season charts. So there's a whole lot of demystifying to do there.
Yes, exactly. And I feel like it's very, very easy to pretend like the Oscars and awards in general don't matter at all. Because, I mean, most of my favorite films have never been nominated or even considered for these things. Like Mikey and Nikki barely even came out, you know? Like, and then when they do get nominated, oftentimes my favorites lose. So I just have to keep reminding myself, like, I don't need the validation of the Academy or any of these awards bodies to enjoy a work of art. And I think
For Paddington. Justice for Paddington.
Exactly. He doesn't need those statues. He has a healthy way of looking at things. So
he's a statue in and of himself.
Yes,
he's
exactly. Yes, I think that this all is a healthier way in general of looking at it than simply awards don't matter, because they do. Like, they unequivocally do. They majorly affect what type of studio movies get made next, who's handed these opportunities, and also the recipients' lives, of course. So this whole show is meant to push against this structure that is both like archaic and modern, and we're going to carve out our own space and reclaim award season as a means of championing and uplifting the art and artists we love, rather than tearing down that which we don't. Crashes, Best Picture win excluded. Sorry to Crash. Brokeback Mountain should have won. It's just a fact at this point.
It's true. And speaking of cowboys, I just want to say for the listeners, you can't see that I'm wearing my Girls on Tops Tees Jane Campion t-shirt. Ooh. And Mia, as you said, it really matters. I think that without Ada and the piano and that whole push for an Oscar for that film, we wouldn't have had Bronco Henry and Jane Campion's win. Yeah, at the last Academy Awards.
And we're not going to have Bronco Henry on this show, but we will be interviewing filmmakers on Best in Show in addition to discussing the haps and goss on the trail. Lots of haps and goss, though. So this is meant to hook you in. So here's the hook. We've already bagged a few majors like Roger Deakins. Ever heard of him? One of the greatest cinematographers of all time. You've definitely seen probably at least 50 of his movies that he shot. And Catherine Martin, one of the greatest costume and production designers of all time. Together, they've won 6 Oscars, and we've already talked to them, and that's the type of thing you can expect from Best in Show. But before we get into the flow of the show, can I ask if there was a certain film that got each of you interested in this crazy awards system?
Oh, I have a funny little answer. So I was a bit late to awards world, I must admit. You know, I occasionally watched the Oscars with my mom, but it wasn't until Karen O performed the Moon Song from the movie Her on the Oscars stage in 2013 that I was completely hooked. I don't know why that was it that did it, but that song is so beautiful and so is she. And since then, I'm in, baby.
Times we're swallowed up. In space we're here a million miles away.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I've always watched the Oscars growing up because my dream as a child was to be a Hollywood actress, you know, as you do. But it was, I got really interested in, I guess, awards season and what awards can do for a film and indeed for an artist when a very young Anna Paquin won Best Supporting Actress for The Piano, the aforementioned The Piano, and proceeded to get on stage and take up minutes of valuable primetime advertising airtime with her little gasps for air as she thought about who she was going to thank. And then in her broad Kiwi accent went, "I'd like to thank Jane." And just hearing that little Kiwi rising register.
I'd like to thank the Academy for the honour of letting me be here today. I'd like to thank Jane, Jan and Holly for making this all possible. I'd like to thank Eddie Campbell, Pat Quirk and Beanie for taking such good care of me during the making of the film.
Made my heart sing, and I've been a fan ever since. What about you, Brian?
Well, you can expect a lot of gasps for air from me, but so that'll be involved in this as well. But LA Confidential was my first golden obsession, but the proper answer is probably just that the film year of 1997 was. I'm going to age myself throughout this podcast, so stay tuned. But okay, so let's talk about 1997. High schools used to do this thing where you fundraise via magazine subscriptions, and young people are like, "What are magazines?" But they used to be the best. I bought multiple movie magazines in 1997 for myself, subscriptions for them. And the first issue I ever received was the Entertainment Weekly Fall Movie Preview with Jackie Brown on the cover. Boogie Nights had a huge spread in there. LA Confidential did too. I knew nothing of film noir, so once I loved that movie and read more about it, it took me to Chinatown, Double Indemnity, all these great movies. I knew nothing of Robert Altman, so Boogie Nights introduced me to Shortcuts. So 1997 became my film literacy year, and then 1998 is when I start writing professional movie reviews. And so, yeah, 1997, this is the last thing I'll say about this, was also important for me because to what Mia had mentioned about like not wanting to root too hard. That was the year of Titanic. It was so obvious it was going to win everything. So I was trained early on to just vote for, or not vote, to just root for maybe one or two categories and let the rest fall where it happens. Because if you get invested in everything, you're just going to drive yourself nuts.
1997, what a year. Brian, Mia has invented a game for us that we're going to be playing across the Best in Show season.
It's true. I'm a little jigsaw.
Yeah. I'm a little scared.
I'm a little ready.
Well, it seems like you are, because from what I understand of the rules, I feel like 1997 could be one of your years. Mia, can you talk to us a little bit about your game?
Oh, I would love to, Gemma. Thank you. So I did make up a little game called The Heart Rate. So what we are going to be doing is checking the heart rate of a specific year and category to see how they hold up according to Letterboxd members and ourselves. So I'm not too good at math, but this is some of the only math I can do. The heart rate is the ratio of likes to logs.
Yeah. So you know that little heart on Letterboxd? This is what I understand this game to be. Sometimes when you log a film, you don't give it a rating. Some people don't rate. They just give it a little heart. And that's their way of going, "I liked it," or "I loved it." And so often on Letterboxd, you're looking at the overall rating for a film. And if you're comparing like the five Academy Awards finalists from a particular year, for example, you can sort them by highest rated, fine. But when you sort them by highest rated plus the most number of hearts that people who have watched it have given it, it's getting really confusing. And I am no math professor, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And we get to choose a different year and category each throughout the season. Is that correct?
You nailed it, Gemma. Exactly. You know the rules of the game better than I do, even.
I am going to be Jigsaw in the sequel. Yeah.
There's also homework in it, in that we all have to watch a movie we hadn't seen from that year. So it has a little bit, if you're familiar with weekend watch lists, there's a little bit of that in there too.
Yeah. So that is the whole point of the heart rate, is that for those who are going, oh, I hate awards season, A, what's wrong with you? But B, never fear, because we're going to be talking about movies that may not end up at the Oscars, but that you love this year anyway. And we're also going to be looking at beautiful classic movies from the past. So it is really a show for everyone. Additionally, Mia, I do believe that you're going to be writing a weekly column that covers some of the things we talk about in Best in Show, and also a lot of the kind of critics awards and Guild Awards that happen throughout the week. I'm excited about that. I love your writing.
Thank you, Gemma. Yes, I am writing a column. I'm in my Carrie Bradshaw era. It's true. Movies and the City.
And because it's Best in Show, we are also going to be, just like the cute little dogs in the Parker Posey movie, we will be awarding a Best in Show Player of the Week every episode. So someone on a red carpet or at an awards ceremony who has comported themselves, and we're not talking about what they were wearing. We're talking about what they did or what they do to make this wacky industry built on white supremacy and patriarchy just a little bit better every day.
Yes, exactly, Gemma. So if you are sufficiently teased by this teaser, you can tune in every week during awards season starting January 3rd. So one last little rundown of the show. We will be covering the latest nominations and ceremonies, spill about the red carpets we managed to hit, and the parties we finagle our way into. Plus, we'll talk to current nominees and former winners like, and I cannot say his name enough, Roger Deakins.
The GOAT.
Thanks for listening to Best in Show, a limited award season series brought to you by The Letterboxd Show. Long story short, please come back from January 3rd every week until just after the Oscars for Best in Show, our limited award season series brought to you by The Letterboxd Show. You can follow me, Brian and Gemma, and our HQ page on Letterboxd using the links in our episode notes.
Thanks to our crew, to Letterboxd member Trent Walton for the music, to Jack for the facts, to Sophie Shin for the episode transcripts, to Slim for editing, and Brian for producing, and you for listening.
No one's playing me off yet. I still got stuff to say. Don't forget, we also have our other podcast weekend watch lists in the same feed that you found this episode in. Your guide to what's screening and streaming each week. Plus, I highly encourage you to go back and explore episodes of the Letterboxd Show 4 Favorites. We had a great season in the books. And in the spirit of things, I want to thank anyone who spends part of their day creating. I don't care if it's a book, a film, a painting, a dance, a piece of theater, a piece of music, anybody who spends part of their day sharing their experience with us.
We think this world would be unlivable without art, and we thank you. Best in Show is a Tape Deck production.
Snaps. We did it.
Yes. That was great. Yeah, where are the sound effects? This is a Tape Deck podcast.